16.
Just going to simply call this tonight, Follow After Charity. Follow After Charity. And I don't think we're really going to be here very long, but I just want to emphasize something about charity that I think will help you in your service to the Lord. We're just going to read through the chapter and in verse 1 of chapter 14, and then we'll come back and make some application. But in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Word of God says this: Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I could have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. So again, we look at the thought that I follow after charity. Lord, tonight I just pray that you'll help me to follow you through this and help me to glorify you through the preaching. And I pray that the end result will be that those that know you would desire to follow after charity or to... In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at three simple thoughts tonight. And the first thought is really one where we're going to spend the most time on, because I think in by way of application, several other messages, we've really gone into detail with them. But three thoughts: the value of charity, the vision of charity, and then the victory of charity. Now, in the value of charity, look at verse number 1. We see, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, first thing under the value of charity, charity number 1, charity allows our voice to be heard. Charity allows our voice to be heard. Because if there is no charity, it says that no matter how eloquent we are, no matter how great our speech is, and even the content, it'll just be like sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. I would like to point out something. It does not say our voice will be received, but it does say that our voice will be heard. It'll be comprehended. It will be understood. It'll be known. But if you don't have charity, it won't be listened to. You know, and that's what the Bible tells us, that we need to speak all with grace, even with salt, when we're trying to witness to our coworkers. And when we're trying to have a Bible influence on somebody's life, we must have charity, or no matter what we say, it will be disregarded, it won't be listened to, well, it just won't even be received. It'll be a sounding brass, as tinkling cymbal. It'll just be another religious voice out there. You know, I was witnessing to three young men last night, and I was just thankful for how I was talking, and the God gave me the Spirit of grace, and the Spirit of God just fell on them, and they just, you could tell they were young teenage boys, and they were just there and listening, and talked about 15 minutes and just talking about Jesus Christ and telling the value of really coming to know God. And there was a time that I would have had a totally different spirit, and just trying to, I was thinking back how just a spirit of just almost contempt for people that did not believe the gospel, you know. And instead of a heart broken, concern for their soul, there was a contempt of why won't they receive this, you know? And there was a time that I would not have even captivated their attention that long because of the lack of charity. So I thank God for the spirit of grace that was in that conversation, and they were actually thankfully receive the gospel. Now they didn't believe the gospel, but they thankfully heard the gospel, I should say. They didn't receive it, but they thankfully heard it, you know. And I told them at the end, I said, now boys, I know that right now you're gathering information for your life. And I said, let me tell you what this is going to do for you. I said, no, you can believe Christ right now. But I said, I've been your age once, and I can tell you're listening, you're respectfully hearing what I'm saying, but I can tell right now that you're just taking it all in. I said, what God's going to do for you is you're going to try everything that you think you need to try. And then when you come to that brick wall, the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring back the conversation that you had in the locker room with some crazy guy you didn't know. And I said, and then you'll know. And then that's in the Holy Spirit of God, combined with the scriptures you've been shown tonight, is going to confirm you, and you're going to know that Christ is your answer. And then you'll be able to make the choice what God wants you to make. And I've witnessed some people before, and you have too. I mean, sometimes they're just staring right through you, but you could just tell the fear of God was on them, and I thank God for that. But charity, that's a different God. God had to humble me in many ways. I'm not claiming to be humble, but I have been humbled. I mean, broken down in some ways to learn how to care about people. And I thank God for that, because there's so many times that would have been a 30-second conversation. Because of the spirit, the way I began the witnessing, it was over before it really started. You know, so charity allows our voice to be heard. Number two, and looking at verse number two, and this is where I really like to help you tonight. And this is something that really goes along with what Lara said in her testimony. I want to please other people. Something I've struggled with. When I see the sins of my children, many times when we're talking about different things, I said, well, you come by it honest. Because that's something I've struggled with through the years. In verse 2 it says, and though I have the gift of all prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, says, I am nothing. Now this, if we didn't read that last verse, and where it said, and have not charity, we would, in our minds, this would be defining a pretty powerful Christian. I have the gift of prophecy. I understand all mysteries. I mean, there's things I don't completely understand about Ezekiel and Revelation, you know, and I read through it and I think, wow, you know, I mean, now I can read somebody's book about it, and when them break it down, it kind of makes sense. But sometimes when you're digging that stuff out for yourself, I mean, I like to read and let the Holy Spirit reveal to me things that so I can understand them. But it says, and they'll have all knowledge. I mean, that's pretty good Christian life, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So, I mean, they have a fear of God, and they have all knowledge, and they'll have faith so I can remove mountains. It says, so, man, there's a faith, I mean, they really believe God, and the mountains, that sounds like a pretty good situation to be. But he says here, but if I have not charity, I am nothing. So you can have all these tremendous things going for you, and God says, without charity, you're nothing. So I put number two, charity defines our existence. Charity defines our existence. Now, the reason I say that, now look at everything here. Just again, that's a pretty good category of things that could be going right for you. I mean, you know, wouldn't you feel pretty good if you had the faith to move a mountain, you know, that you needed? Well, I feel like they moved a mountain. I mean, to me. I mean, what happened anyway, that was a mountain. But see, you can do all these wonderful, glorious things in the name of God and these attributes. But if you don't have charity, you'll still be wandering around trying to figure out. You'll still feel like nothing. You know, there are times, and I've said this before, when I was preaching different places in the United States, preaching revival meetings, and people send me letters and praising me for what I'm doing, and even the church here, people being happy and saying, man, praise the Lord for this message, that message, and me praying for things to see them come happen, but then all of a sudden I still feel like there's nothing. I just feel so empty. And I thought, what's wrong? Well, it was a lack of charity. Even when I felt like quitting, I mean, there weren't things that were going bad. I mean, nobody at that present was really hating my guts that I could think of. But it was just things, it was a lack of charity, and we'll look it up in the scripture as we look at the vision of charity. But without that charity, you could have all these things going for you and still feel like nothing. That could still be nothing. Because notice what it says. This is I wrote this note, the lack of charity defines our state of being. Because the state of being is, this is a state of being verb, I am nothing. So when the charity's not there, your state of being will be nothing. I mean, because think about it. If you've ever been away from God, I mean, there was a part of you, assuming that the day you got saved, that man, you took off. You knew the scriptures. Man, you were learning. You were excited about God. And you were witnessing to a measure. And then all of a sudden, what gave? Well, it was a lack of charity. Because for some reason, how could you go from such a tremendous, glorious high to be a child of God and be in love with God and be witnessing for God and praying and seeing miracles happen and all of a sudden get away from God? To the lack of charity. And then all of a sudden you feel so shallow and empty and like, what happened? Because, I mean, this would be a pretty, in the eyes of the day, this would be a pretty solid Christian. Gift of prophecy, man, foretelling the truth, the boldness to preach the word of God any time and every time. Understand all mysteries. And we look at the Bible and they're the person people call when they want answers from the scriptures. Have all knowledge, with any wisdom in the situation. This is the Christian they call to get that wisdom. Have faith when they need a miracle. They believe God. Then it happens. The next thing you look up, man, what happened to that person, you know? And if it's you, you say, what do you think was happening to me? How could all these things be going this way? And then you feel like nothing. What's charity? Lack of charity. So, but charity, when it's in position, charity is the foundation that every other gift builds upon. When charity is that foundation, everything else is just magnified. Then you enjoy the fruit of all those things you're walking through. You move that mountain, and then God is glorified. You have that prophecy, and because it's charity, you're enduring, you're walking in that long-suffering, because you've given yourself away and resolving into God. And then you're resting in that. And the great thing about it, when we read the charity, it makes more sense. When you've really given yourself over to all these things, see, because you're not vaunting yourself, you're not seeking your own, you're consumed with Christ and others. And so there's never a withdrawing. There's never anything that, because see, you aren't looking to be something. Your existence has been defined by what you do. One thing I mentioned when I was witnessing those only last night, I said the great thing about serving God is that, and when I live in charity, I said I can never fail. I said because charity is a life of continual giving. Because I said even as I give you the truth right now, even if you don't receive it, I succeeded. I gave. And if I give my life, if nobody ever appreciates that I gave my life, I succeeded in what I was trying to do. I gave. And when I love, when I do those things that in the spirit of Christ and I exercise charity, I never fail because I accomplish what I set out to do, which was to give, which is God. And you never fail in charity. Number three, under vision, value of charity. Charity gives meaning to our service. In verse 3 it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, you can do all these good deeds, and just, man, you think, man, you know what? I think of a situation that happened recently. Someone had this testimony. They were talking about all the things they'd done for people and others, and they said it wasn't worth it. You know why they could say that? It was lack of charity. But see, when the charity's intact, that gospel tract you gave that somebody threw on the ground, it was worth it. Because, man, the love of God was shown to them. You know what? That person may never read that tract and get saved, but the Holy Spirit of God will bring that to the mind of them. Somebody was trying to reach them for Christ.
Even though they never read that tract, when they get into a low spot, well, you know, that day I was thinking, the Holy Spirit bring to mind, you know, that day I was feeling so low and I was looking for answers, and somebody tried to give me a tract, I didn't want that. Maybe that was God trying to tell me something. They didn't read that tract, but, and you think, praise God, I tried. You know, I trusted and my faith did that. And the things you do that seem like they were fruitless and did not have any effort, again, because of charity, that step of obedience, though you couldn't see it because you were living life of faith anyway, you weren't supposed to see it. It profited every little thing. But when you have no charity, you do all these things, give all this service, and man, this just isn't worth it. But when the charity's intact, it was worth it because that gift, whatever, it was out of response to a heart that loves God, you obeyed God, and that's what you're looking to do. You obeyed God. Then as an unprofitable servant, according to Luke 17, you did your duty, and doing your duty was enough. I learned something great. It's great having children. You know, they really teach you things. I was watching Morgan the other day, and they really taught me something. My wife was at the gym or something, or I can't remember where she was going, what she did, but I was watching him, and I learned some of my charity as I was thinking about watching him. Now, there's a couple different ways you can handle responsibility. Now, when I watch him, I determine that's what I'm there to do. Now, and when I do that, I enjoy watching him. I just shut the world out, watch him, and I play with him. I just watch him walk to this end, walk to that end, and whatever he wants to do, and pick up a toy. He's got a little choo-choo train, and let's ride the choo-choo train. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sing this little song. All aboard the counting train. And the counting train goes off. And you know, I just watch him, but you know what? But you know when I have difficulty watching him? Is when I'm trying to watch him, and then I decide in the midst of watching him, I want to do something. And so, I'm still watching him, but I think, well, he's pretty subdued right now. I will just try to do this one little thing. And it may just happen to be in that moment that he's pretty needy and pretty clingy, you know. And then I try to go do something, and then he screams because he didn't want me to go do so. He wants to be right there with him, you know. And then if I don't surrender back to what I was there to do, Then I will try to do both and have this divided thing. Then I'll find myself frustrated. But then when I decide that, you know what? No. Right now, I'm here for him. And me can wait. And whatever I wanted to do was not important, then I enjoy watching him. Now, what will happen in the course of watching him, there will be certain things that I have to do that even for him. Like sometimes, okay, I'm watching him. He needs to eat. And sometimes, as children are, they just clean. They don't want you to leave, give them something to eat. They'll just scream while you're trying to feed them some food. You make them some food, you know. But see, because when the charity is intact, I know that I'm doing that which is for his best interest. So I'm not frustrated because he's screaming while I'm making his food, because I know that what I'm doing is for him. There's no divided loyalty. I'm not second-guessing myself. There's no frustration. And I just know this is just something that I have to deal with for the moment as I exercise charity unto him. But when there's not that assurance of what you're doing is right and what you're doing is for the best interest of someone, then there's frustration. Then there's all these different things. Then all of a sudden you start getting temperamental instead of just saying, well, I know he doesn't understand, but this is what's best for him. And so, but if you, and that can be, and you can take that in any relationship. When you determine that you're there for the other person, be there for the other person. But when you have that divided loyalty, when you're kind of there for that person, but you want to kind of do something for you, there'll be times when it's not the perfect illustration, but I'm just saying that the charity varneth not itself. Charity seeketh not her own. And so, as I gave myself completely to him, and you know, and here's the thing: since each thing other better than themselves, since if you really have the right perspective, you start thinking, what I really wanted to do for me wasn't really of any value anyway. You know, it maybe was something simple I wanted to do. But when I value him in the time, then, you know, and when it's like that, you know what I do? I spend time with him. When I was doing that, I took my time to read the Bible to him. Instead of just trying to do things, I would pray it over him, as I do often, and as did all the children, and just all these different thoughts of what I can do for him and try to put my life in him come into being when charity is there. But see, when there's no charity, then there again is there's responsibility. And I was thinking about this, and this just came to mind, actually. I wasn't really thinking about it. Is responsibility a word in the Bible? I don't really think it is. I was just thinking about that. I don't really think it is. Now, we say to be responsible. Somebody check it. It'd be good to get there as a thing. Because, see, when there's no charity, there's responsibility, and responsibility can be a weight. But see, charity is a gift that we just give, and we give, and we give, and we give. And you know what? In those moments when I was watching Morgan, man, I had a great time. Because that was what I existed to do. That was my existence, was to take care of him. And see, because I'd given over to that, and I wasn't doing it for my wife, I was doing it for my son. Because I determined, see, it wasn't something I was doing just for her. I was giving myself into him, putting myself back into that which God gave me. Anybody find anything? We got these computer Bibles. Okay, just a curious thought. See, technology is not all evil. It can be used for evil, but... And so, and you know what? And when you give yourself like that, guess what? Oh, this is getting better. This will help you. I know you won't believe that, but that sweet little boy is selfish sometimes. And you know, if you give yourself like that to people, you know what you're going to find about people sometimes? You're going to find that they're selfish too. But you know, because you were given to that person, it's okay. Because it didn't affect what you were doing anyway, because you were giving to that person. You were giving yourself. And as Bible Christians, we're giving to a world that is selfish. We're giving to a world that's self-centered, egotistical. All they want is what they can get out of life. That's why they don't want the cross. But if you have charity when you're dealing with people in those situations, you won't be affected by that. Because it will not hinder what you were doing. Because, see, charity wants not itself. Because, see, when you don't want yourself, that means as you give. Now, I wasn't expecting Morgan the other day to say, "Hey, thanks, Pops. Hey, thank you, Papa, for taking some time with me doing that." My older children, they do that now with different things. But when I do, I'm not really looking for that. I mean, it's nice if they say it, but I determine when I give them the time, when I spend the time, that was what was best for them. And so there's no, if there's no thank you, and even if there's never any appreciation, and like I already said, they do show it, it's okay. Because I succeeded. I did what I set out to do, which is to love. And charity, and it gives meaning to the service, because then it's not like, well, I hope, praise God, this is the answer against pragmatism too. Because that means you're not working for a result. Because you can't fail. You gave. You did. You surrendered. And the goal was just to be charitable. And then, man, once you do it, I mean, praise God, Sister Walker sent the letter. I mean, it's nice that she just noticed she needed the money, that she was thankful. But thank God that you gave anyway, not even knowing if she would send a thank you. I mean, we succeeded by giving. And I wrote you, the charity is why the disciples could rejoice in suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. Because it gave meaning to the service. I mean, they gave like Jesus gave. They gave their lives. They were treated like Jesus was treated. And then they were like him. And you know what they said? They think we're so much like Jesus, they're persecuting us like him. Now we want to be like when we want to be the part when they said Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna. We want to come to town and say, oh, praise God, the Christians are here. FIBC is in town. Amen. Instead of saying, oh man, wait a minute, here comes FIBC, bring the whips. Amen. Bring the cat of nine tails. Bring the stones. Amen. But see, that's what see charity allows your voice to be heard. Like I said, no guarantee on reception, but at least you know that they heard. Charity defines your existence. Because so often we pursue these attributes. And especially in churches like of independent Baptist churches, this is a good thing. It's good to have the gift of prophecy. We study and prepare how to foretell the truth properly and accurately. We dig deep. We want to understand all the mysteries and all these different things. We want to have knowledge because we don't want to be ignorant in our faith. We want to have the knowledge. We want to know. We want to know why we're serving God. We want to do it by faith. We want to know we're following the Bible. That's good. And we want to have the faith to remove mountains. We want to be in a situation that if God wants us to do something, we want to be able to, by faith, do exactly what God says, no matter how big the obstacle is in front of us. That's good. But you know, without that charity, all those things will be in place. And we'll still be sitting there wondering, man, I'm nothing. Instead of rejoicing. We can rejoice in being nothing. Instead of, man, I'm nothing. But the right kind of nothing realized that Christ gave them value to be everything. You know, and it's so refreshing when that's in place, because man, then these things, because these see what's happened, these things we just listed, this has become the security for the life. That's, since I preach, I use myself example. Well, I prophesy, so I'm doing okay. Hey, man, people call me for counsel, man. I understand mysteries. Knowledge. People call me. I mean, they want to ask my advice over things, you know. And people want somebody to pray for something, they call me and ask me to pray. But you know, if I don't even charity, I can have all that and be sitting around looking for something else in this world to fulfill me and define my existence. But when the charity's there, which each one of those things, well, John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. I can do nothing like Christ. And you just give it all. You continue in your long suffering, all these different things. And so Christ is exalted. The vision. All right, so we just read through this. I went through this in great detail on several different occasions. Anytime I mention charity. But it says in verse 4, charity suffered long. Note, I wrote in my Bible, I'll read it again. The Lord, since it suffered long, the Lord gives a directive without a definite ending or stopping place. Charity suffered long. How long? Long. How long? Long. And it's kind. Charity envieth not. Didn't begin. State of being is kind. That means it's not based on any circumstance. Kind. Charity envieth not. We don't envy the ways of sinners, you know. We don't envy anything. We don't envy. You know, I wish somebody would, you know, ever say this? I wish somebody would treat me like I treat them. You envy. Covetous of your own. Covetous on the grace that God showed you how to give out. Amen. Charity upon yourself. I mean, you don't lift yourself up. Not puffed up. And not thinking highly of yourself more than you ought to. Does not behave yourself unseemly. There's just nothing. Not indecently. Not uncomely. Seeketh not her own. You're not being good so God can reward you. You're doing good to glorify God. You're doing those things always that please Him. The byproduct is that God encourages, He will do good things for us. Seek is not our own. It's not easy provoked. That means you're not touchy. Think of no evil. That's just not fair if God wants me to do all this. That's not fair that I have to live like this and the world gets to do all this and do all that. That's thinking evil of God. It's not fair that Christianity has to hurt sometimes. Rejoice not in iniquity. I don't know what that was. What would you, should a child of God wouldn't rejoice in iniquity? That's what it's doing. That's why be careful what you watch on television. And sometimes you'll be rejoicing over it. You know, be attracted to something you see on television to sin, you know. People like murder yesterday. Why? Because murder. People like action. You know, my flesh does too, and that's why I don't watch this stuff, because I don't want to rejoice in iniquity. Sometimes our flesh will rejoice in seeing somebody pounded, even if it is an evil guy. We're rejoicing that, you know. Rejoice not in iniquity. See, charity didn't do that. Charity thinks, man, if that, even if a good guy beats up the bad guy, he thinks, man, I sure wish that guy was saved so he wouldn't have to have his head pounded in. Which is somewhere that guy could be reached. Rejoice not in iniquity. Rejoice in the truth. The joy is the truth. Beareth all things. That means what would it take to stop you from serving God? What would it take to stop you from being faithful to God in any area God spoke to you? If God spoke to you by reading your Bible, what would it take to stop you from being faithful in Bible reading? If you have charity, nothing. You'll bear all things. If you're a Christian and you believe the Bible, you're the light of the world, and God says to shine, what will stop you? What will take to stop you from being the light and shining your light? But if you have charity, nothing. Because you bear all things. Nothing in you. You keep going forth. If you are a forgiving person, what will it take to make you unforgiving? Nothing. Because you bear all things, believe all things. Think about it. Are you doing anything or you're not doing something that you used to do for God? Yeah, you need a revival of charity. He prayed in the prayer, somebody revive me. I remember thinking, that's part of confirmation of going over. Because revival is bringing back to life something that was there once. Charity, it beareth all things, believeth all things. Hey, heard it. Believe all things. God can do anything, amen. The Word of God. Just believe the Word. Why? Nobody else does. Believe the Word. Doesn't care. Doesn't matter. Believe it all things. Hope with all things. I almost preached today about believing against hope, where it says in Abraham, how he said against hope, believed. Against hope, believed in hope, or something like that. In Romans it says that. And I was just reading that, having a spell over the goodness of that, how his whole situation against hope. See, people lose hope when situations are physically impossible. That's what it was to Abraham and Sarah. It's physically impossible for them to have children. And people lose hope when things look physically impossible. But he, against hope, he believed. People lose hope when things are historically impossible. Because historically, that never happened before. Nobody in the 90 or 100 years old, they didn't have children. And people lose hope when things are historically, when they can't see a past trend. I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and they were asking about psychiatric conditions, and they said, what do you believe about that? And I said, I told them what the Bible said. He said, what is your proof? I said, I just told you the proof, the Bible. I said, if you're working it, I said, I'm not going to tell you, because I told you what the proof is. The proof is the Bible, because you don't need to know. I say, if you don't believe the Bible, then you'll be trusting in the experience of something instead of what the Word of God says. So God can help anybody, any given time. It doesn't matter if there's ever been a case before it happened. And see, people lose hope when things are historically impossible. But Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope. And then people lose hope when things are genetically impossible. Hey, after Sarah, it ceased to be after her the manner of women, the Bible says. So it's genetically impossible. But Abraham, against hope, believed. Amen. Why? Because that's what charity does. I believe in all things. You know, this was kind of neat. Y'all look this up. I hadn't looked through all the verses yet. But, you know, I was thinking about this. Now, after God made the promise. So much on the Bible you hear about different people, and it says that they, when maybe someone was barren, they say that then they knew each other and conceived. Now, if you read that passage, now I'm studying great detail, so it's something for your own study if you're a curious Christian. I couldn't find, after God made the promise, any time where they said they knew each other after that. So what did it happen? God had the seed setting it together that they already had put together. Because, you know, now genetically or scientifically, give you a biology lesson, when the sperm and egg come together, it only, don't want to get too detailed, it only exists, or there's only a certain period of time, technically, that it can germinate and the child come forth. But God could have had those two sitting, had Isaac in there sitting for the moment he made that promise, that whole time sitting there. No matter what we think historically, genetically, and so he had Isaac sitting there, set apart, already in there, and then he made the promise, and whatever, 10 years later, finally, then all of a sudden, wham, here comes Isaac. and I just got to think about my God, that how he can do anything. I mean, God is not restrained to govern. Well, he proved it with Jesus. I mean, he conceived of the Holy Ghost, and he knew what he was doing from eternity past, even with Abraham and Sarah. So he just set the seed. I mean, when they did cohabitate or know each other, he just had it there setting. And all of a sudden, I thought, wow, this, I mean, God is amazing. You know, and I don't understand why people just don't get excited about what God does. You know, because against hope, Abraham believed, and when you have charity, you believe all things because you're not consumed with self. I'm not seeking my own. I'm not thinking about God operating according to my will. I'm thinking about God operating based on the authority of the greatest thing that will ever be this side of eternity, the Word of God. In fact, it'll never pass away. Blessed is he. Well, believeth all things. Then when believe, then is hope with all things, and then endureth all things. When you have charity, you'll continue on. One of the things that, in that, those two police officers were talking to themselves, or the guy was deathly holding onto that wheel, knowing that his child was in the backseat of that car. They asked each other when they were driving back away, they said, would you let go of that wheel? And my answer is not if you have charity, because charity endureth all things. And so we want to go forth for Christ tonight. Let me ask just a few questions. What defines your existence? Are you still looking for something to make yourself to be something? I encourage you to examine your charity tonight. Greatest thing in the world is to be a child of God. There's nothing greater than that. That'll just set you who you are. You ought to be secure in that. You ought to walk in that. Praise God for that. Whatever you did for God this week, you'll be thankful that God ordered your steps. Well, thank you, Lord. Don't know if anybody saw that, but that's okay. Praise God. I did it for you. And I want to know, me personally, when I witnessed somebody, I brought them into a conversation with God. So I'm following charity. I hope they're all going to receive it. I pray they'll all receive it. I'll beg God to receive it. I see him on today. This is the day when I see him at all this. And first time Kenny came back to church after he'd been away for a while, it was time for him. Between time, I thought when I wasn't living charity, and got my heart right and was there for him to have a church to come back to. I said, thank God I didn't give up, didn't let go of the wheel. And by the grace of God, when they do come back, I'll still be here. I'm still looking for Yoda's children to
walk in here saved by the grace of God and enjoy the Lord. That's why I got to keep holding on to the wheel. I'm looking for everybody that walks in the door of this church and walking with the glory of God, living for Him alone, filled with the Spirit every day, maybe a few hiccups, but more filled with the Spirit than not. That's why I'm holding on to the wheel. That's why I'm following after charity. Because I was crying out to God today, just thinking about things, and I said, Lord, thank you. I don't know, nobody may understand why I'm holding on so tight. Nobody may understand why I repeat things so often. Why things that I think to be redundant, that I just keep going back again and again and again until it seems like it's the simple, basic thing. But sometimes I can see some things that sometimes people you love dearly are in the hands of someone that would destroy them. Potentially destroy them. But let's leave here as a charitable group tonight, amen. Let's suffer long in our faithfulness to God and the things we do for Christ. Let's be kind in every situation. Let's be content with whatever God has us made us to be, what He called us to be. Let's be content in what God called us and made us to be. Let's not vaunt ourselves up. Let's not bring ourselves up so somebody can see us and want us to think something of us. Let's not be puffed up and think highly of ourselves more than we ought to. Let's not do anything unseemly, anything that's not right. Let's just not do it. Let's not seek our own in any situation. But choose to be like Christ. Let's not be easily provoked. Let's not be temperamental. That just means we're selfish. That means we're not dead yet. We haven't given ourselves away. We're touchy. Think of no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity. Let's find our joy in Christ alone. Let's rejoice in the truth. And let's endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ and bear all things. Because just like I used to illustrate watching Morgan, you're going to watch some people, you're going to give yourself to the people that are going to be selfish. And actually, it's just his nature. And you know, I look at him, here's a child almost 14 months, him being selfish. I said, you good for nothing, ungrateful child. I didn't say, you know what I said? You know what? He doesn't know what he's doing. And I love him, and I hope to teach him differently. You know, any self-centered, arrogant person really doesn't know what they're doing. Because who believes the Bible here tonight? Okay, now the Bible says that he that seeketh his life shall lose it. Now, if you believe the Bible, a selfish person is seeking their life. And honestly, they don't really want to lose life, but they just don't know what they're doing. And that's why you just patient. And, I hope I can teach them differently. See, when you have charity, then you bear that. You bear that because you understand that, man, they just don't know what they're doing. They think they do because they're selfish and arrogant because they think above the Scriptures. Hey, I've been there too. If I'm not careful, I'll be a little more. Let's bear all things. Let's believe all things. Hey, but God, if God's called you to do something, man, just believe it. Don't look around. Be like Abraham. It can be genetically impossible. It can be historically impossible. It can be physically impossible. But my God said it. My God said it. So I believe it.
Amen.
All things. Let's hope all things. Let's hope that everybody. No, I think back. I was praying for different people. Dude. That's been here and heard the gospel, and I said, Lord, I hope they all get it before Jesus comes back. I haven't given up on anybody. I look through the visitor card from time to time and pray over people and say, Lord, I hope they get it. Even if I don't see them here, I pray they get saved and get to somewhere else. Let's hope all things. And then we
said bear, but let's endure. That means let's continue in. I believe somebody tonight is going to leave with the desire to follow after charity. But let's dig up the faith to endure, to endure, to endure. And then you experience the greatest victory of all, that it never fails. Because if you think, when you live charitably, those are the happiest days you ever live. Those are the most victorious days you ever live, because every day you live charitably is a day of success. Because you think about it. When you are long-suffering, you succeeded. When you exercise charity, you won. You succeeded in what you were trying to do. The only time there's failure when you draw back. But you succeed every time. Charity never fails. Amen. So go determined to show some charity. I almost said to somebody. But let's determine to show charity to everybody. God may bring somebody to your mind right now. Okay, that's a selfish person, I know. Be careful when you think that. Be careful how you think that. Because you thought about, man, I got a good guy like that selfish person. That means you're envious. Because you're frustrated with them, you know. But when you think, man, you know what, there's a... They don't know what they're doing. And because it could, you know why they might not be hearing your attempts to get them not to be selfish? Because you're not showing charity. Even as I preach this, I'm examining my heart. And I've studied this all afternoon. I said, Lord, I hear I just said all these things, you know. Lord, please, I'll make sure that is heard today. Because this could all be biblically, I trust it's all biblically right, biblically accurate. I pray this be consistent, I pray it's understandable, but I hope by the grace of God it's been delivered in charity so it'd be heard by all. And since I, hopefully by the grace of God, have charity, again, I hope and I pray, I hope that it'll be heard by all and received by all. Because then everybody